Welcome to All Damn Night. All right, welcome back to this episode of All Damn Night. I'm your host, Brandon Richardson, with my co-host,
Sean Demers.
Sean, good to have you.
Oh, it's great to be back, as always.
So if you're not familiar with the premise of the show, what we do is one of us will research a topic about music history, and we're not like particularly uniquely qualified to talk about this, but fuck it. We do it anyways. Right.
Yeah.
And the other person will not really have any idea what the other person is going to talk about, and we riff on it, talk about it, have a good time, delve into the annals, if you will, of music history, which I don't know if is spelled too much different than annals.
I would have said like the dark side.
I went annals.
Annals. Okay. Well, let's roll with it. We've already started.
Too far in to go back now. So this week, John, we're gonna base this episode around a question. I want you to keep in mind the entire time.
Okay.
All right.
Do I have to provide an answer? Okay, well, that's another question.
Okay, now you're jumping ahead and ruining the entire exercise. No. So I want you to think of your favorite song and play along at home too.
Don't tell you.
Whatever piece of music that in your life has moved you more than any other. Now imagine that song is illegal. You can't listen to it.
I had everything for a moment.
Too bad.
And it's all been taken away.
You're not allowed to download it. only the record, or even, you can't have the record. You can't even hum it to yourself out loud. It's gone. You can't have anything to do with it ever again.
Okay.
This is
terrible.
It's not good.
Yeah.
If you do, you're going to jail. Worst case scenario, if you're caught selling or distributing those songs, you're double fucked and you could end up in a prison labor camp.
Like in Rambo?
Like in North Korea.
Oh, worse than Rambo.
Did you see the video of that guy escaping the... he wasn't a prison camp POW, but he was like running away from North Korea and he got shot like 5 times. He went full 50 Cent.
Didn't, no. Yeah. Did he die though?
No, he got shot 5 times and they pulled a bunch of tapeworms out of him and he pulled through.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Maybe he was trying to get shot.
No, I think he was trying to get the fuck out of North Korea. And this is a good example, point being that's apropos, if you will, because that would be a place where you could be put into a prison camp.
But they can't hear us right now because they don't have internet anyways.
Poor bastards.
Yeah.
But would you risk all that in order to listen to your favorite music?
Definitely yes.
That is quite the statement.
Well, listen to or play. I would risk it to play my
just to hear it.
Music. To hear it, yeah, probably.
Not even play it, yeah. Like just to be able to listen to it.
Yeah, definitely.
That is, we're going to see if you still have the same opinion after hearing about a couple of the luxurious prison camps. See, in Soviet Russia, you might have heard of it.
In Soviet Russia, prison camp loves you.
In the 1950s and the 1960s, the heyday, if you will, of the Soviet Russian, that's the choice that many music lovers were left with. After World War II, when the Iron Curtain had truly descended upon Russia.
See, this always confused me. Is it an actual Iron Curtain?
You think there's a giant Iron Curtain?
It would be very heavy.
Where would you hang it from? You think they're just big lines, like big giant shower rods?
Those are some serious shower rods all throughout Europe. I mean, is it like the Berlin Wall? Is it an actual physical thing?
The Iron Curtain's it's a metaphor. I mean, like the Berlin Wall would be like the physical manifestation of the Iron Curtain.
Okay.
Yeah, but Iron Curtain meaning like you can't get behind it. Like we didn't know, like for example, their sports technology, like what they were doing. You couldn't get behind the proverbial Iron Curtain.
Okay.
Yeah, military technology.
So it wouldn't be like a bunch of tanks forming a line.
Nope.
It wouldn't be like an actual Iron Wall.
No, because you got to remember, this was a nuclear war. Okay. So, like, it's the Cold War, meaning they're not a big line of tanks along the border trying to prevent a land invasion. This is about, like, a network of spies going back and forth between majorly the Soviet countries and the...
So, like, the war is basically fought by a bunch of people who tie their shoelaces in certain ways and write on mailboxes with chalk?
Well, that's... I mean, you might be making a joke, but that's absolutely... Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, like that can be the most effective way to win a war.
Right.
That can absolutely be, like... A lot of people would say that is the... That was the OSS, the precursor to Special Forces and the CIA... that people would say, like, those techniques are what made the difference in World War II.
Yeah, you would never even expect it.
Yeah. So, but that's this Cold War meaning that they're not actively firing at each other. Agents are in, double agents are in rife supply. But no, the Iron Curtain was just a metaphor for the Soviet bloc being separated from the rest of the Western world. Essentially
a quarter of the world.
A huge swath of the world, yeah. And not just in Russia. You're talking about all the Soviet-controlled countries, Cuba and in South America.
Right.
And at all, is that what you say for countries? That's what we're going to go with, at all.
At all, yeah.
So after World War II, when the Iron Curtain had descended upon Russia, it's not a real thing, it's a metaphor, Joseph Stalin now had a firm grip on every aspect of Russian life and culture. In the bleak existence that was the reality of the Soviet Union, there was no room for individual expression. Sounds like a great place, right?
This wasn't that long ago, was it?
Stalin was a dick, okay? Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay. All you hipsters out there with your Stalin pins. I heard that
he gave everybody free bread, though.
I mean, he did.
I mean, seems like a nice guy to me.
And then he starved out the Ukraine. Is he the one who didn't give the Ukraine any free bread?
Is he the one who? I'm joking, of course. But is he the one who built all the lavish palaces?
It's hard to tell if you're joking or not because of your autographed Stalin shirt. See that? So you got it. I know you can't see the listeners at home.
Well, I was between that or the Bin Laden. You got
the
one.
Double zeros in the back. Yeah. It's like a Stalin hockey jersey. It's got CCP in the front.
We're not supposed to tell this anybody about this.
I wouldn't wear this out. Yeah, it's not the best look. How did you get it autographed?
You don't want to know. Are you sure that's
his autograph?
I could be. I could.
It
have
says
been.
To Sean. I don't think he was alive to write that, man. I think he got taken on that.
Let's just not talk about it and move on. Okay. Was Stalin the one who built all the lavish palaces, or was that generations before him?
Well, the czars. Yeah, that's so Stalin is the well, Khrushchev would be Lenin. Excuse me. Lenin would be the backlash to all the royal family. So they basically, the Bolshevik Revolution after World War I was them coming in, murdering the royal family in a basement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like that movie Anastasia, that Disney Anastasia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's about the supposed, she didn't actually survive in real life. I don't know how Disney tied this into a cartoon, but she survived the murder of her family.
A lot of those old classic movies are pretty vile.
Right. I mean,
if you think about it, really.
Well, this would be like Snow White if they had gunned down all the dwarves in a basement.
Well, they should have. They that would have
been
poor,
a way better movie.
They kept this poor girl hostage.
Touche. Would have been a way better movie. But yeah, she was. They gunned down the reigning family. Also killed their like witch doctor guy named.
Who were the Cossacks?
The Cossacks are a like tribe in Russia that were part of the revolutionaries that came in and overthrew the and if you're like a Russian historian, ease up on me, okay? Russian history is not the easiest.
Right.
They're that would be like saying I'm trying to think of what the United States equivalent, or maybe like the European equivalent might be the
Mongols.
Actually, okay, yeah, let's go with Mongols. Yeah, they're like a horse tribe. They're a smaller tribe, but they're not that powerful. Point being, it's they were a giant backlash to this repressive royalty that had an iron fist over Russia forever.
So the Cossacks were against the royal.
Yeah, they helped, I believe. Anyways, Lenin was the one that came in, totally took things over after the royal family was deposed. They had it in mind to institute communism and, you know, even everything out, right? We're going to even out the distribution. So Lenin took over.
Except for a select few.
Somehow it didn't work out all that well. After Lenin passed away, you had Stalin coming up. Stalin was a real dickhead, not even a Russian, from Georgia.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's from Georgia.
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's this documentary on Stalin where they talk. There's just like, somehow they found kids that were hanging out with him when he was a kid, and they said he was walking, hiking along a river with them, and he saw a baby calf stranded on an island in this flooded river.
Okay.
And he swam out, like, I'm going to save this calf.
Did he drown it or something?
He broke its legs and then swam back.
What? That's even worse.
Yeah, man. It's like, they were like, shit. Yo, Joe, what the fuck, man?
And we worship this guy, sings with Paul McCartney, like, my God, what a...
No, shame wow, on you're us. Just taking a lot shame of turns. Shame
on us.
Though I think John Lennon was probably a fucking communist, too.
He was definitely.
Yeah, dude. So don't get confused. This is... Wow, you've really managed... We've really managed to weave quite the web here. Let's conclude by saying, everyone's a communist. Have your head on a swivel. So, progressing from there...
So, how much bread did it take to kill John Lennon?
I don't know.
Five bullets worth.
Wow. And there goes our Beatles demographic. We want to thank our Beatles fans for tuning in. I'm sure not many of you, as far as I know, the Beatles aren't that popular anyway, so not many of you.
I mean, the only reason I know who they are is because of this really cool drummer. He was in it's a magazine or something like that.
Now you're making a Ringo Starr joke.
Ringo Starr, yeah.
So cool we guy. Managed to go all the way from Stalin to Ringo Starr. You've managed to tie all the Beatles into the Bolshevik Revolution somehow. So Stalin had risen to power.
Save for Harrison, but...
Stalin had risen to power after the Bolshevik Revolution, where, in short... The murder of the Russian ruling family and overthrow of the government gave way to the rise of the Communist Party in Russia based on the principles of Karl Marx's notorious dickhead. This essentially meant that the government would run everything and divide everything equally amongst all of its people so that the days of haves and have-nots would be a thing of the past.
Did they really hit the reset button, though?
Not at all. No. Somehow, and there would be like people that tell you, oh, it worked for a little while. No, bullshit, it didn't. Somehow, this plan eventually went to shit, and believe it or not, set the stage perfectly for a maniacal psychopath who would eventually be accountable for more deaths than Adolf Hitler. Yes, that Adolf Hitler.
The painter?
Yes, the famous painter.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Little of underappreciated. No, have you ever seen his paintings? They're fucking stupid.
And they're all a fucking dolls.
They're horrible.
Nothing against dogs.
No, it's not anti-dog, it's anti-Hitler. Yes, more deaths than Adolf Hitler by millions of people. He killed more by millions of people than Adolf Hitler. Part of Stalin's shtick was to control every conceivable aspect of a Russian citizen's life, from food to music to what they did for a living. Paramount in this scheme. You better
not touch my music.
Well, that's what he's coming for, Haas.
Oh, man.
Paramount in this scheme was making sure anything considered subversive would be illegal. This meant any films, songs, pieces of art, or anything else deemed subversive would not be allowed to be produced or consumed in any way.
So it's essentially net neutrality of the Soviet Union.
That's going to turn this into a big... fucking confusing right. mess.
Email us, please don't call.
Yeah, please don't call about the net neutrality. Every other podcast in the world has talked about it.
Well, we had to bring it up.
It's a thing. It exists.
But everybody's freaking the fuck out for no reason.
So let's all just take a breath. Maybe be grateful that we're not in communist Russia, where things really suck and they only have 4G and they didn't have Wi-Fi.
Oh, I heard it was 3G.
Blue. Doing any of this came at risk.
They're still working with Motorola Razors, and they don't have iPhones yet. Remember those flip phones?
That might be true.
Like a jackass.
Yeah, I know. let's see. Doing so came at a risk for stiff punishment. Most of the time, authorities would simply destroy the artwork or confiscate it and rebuke the person who had it.
Wait. So, why is it like Al Qaeda and stuff? Or is it Al-Qaeda or ISIS that's destroying all of the Middle Eastern
art? It was Al-Qaeda. Now it's more ISIS, yeah.
Okay. So, like, technically, they could have destroyed, like, the Gardens of Babylon and things like this?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's lots of...
What's the point behind that? Is it what, like, the Spartans would do? Or the... The Spartans. The Persians, when they were trying to conquer
that's
the Spartans.
No, that's pre-Islam. Like, this has everything... This... Okay.
But are they trying to wipe the Spartans off the face of the earth? Are they trying to wipe the infidel off the face of the earth?
Yes,
and history?
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying. It's about like it's any Judeo-Christian monuments, anything that could be seen. Because this isn't like a main. Theirs isn't the mainstream view of Islam. This is like a
right. It's totally radical.
The pilgrims, version, the puritanical. Right. You know,
I mean, nobody wears like 7 undergarments.
Oh, shit. Well, maybe 5. No, but yeah, it's it is the similarity there would be their insistence on controlling every aspect of culture,
including history.
The difference be that communism is completely secular, like they're atheistic, like they don't have anything to do with religion, and ISIS would be faith-based, but the means, like the reasoning behind it is the same. They want to be able to control every aspect of everything that their people do.
Sounds awful.
It's terrible.
Sounds like a shit job.
Yeah.
What the fuck was Stalin thinking, man? He wanted to sign up for this? Jeez, the president is crazy.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, people, like, that's why people wear, like, Mao and Stalin pins now, because it's like, well, they, when they hear it, I think without understanding what this guy did, like, when you hear, well, they wanted to redistribute everything and make everyone even. Like, well, that sounds great.
Yeah, it does sound great.
Find out how it's worked. And this isn't a unique case study. This is the same in South America, in Southeast Asia, in all of anywhere that communism has been tried.
It seems like some of the modern communists that I know tend to pick bits and pieces of success out of whatever we're talking about here.
And I mean,
then build their whole case around that, just ignoring.
And the real easy answer is 100 million people. Yeah. That's how and even more than that. That's how many people come in. That's how and that's like a pretty small estimate for how many people communism is responsible for killing in the 20th century alone. Well, it's not even comparable.
Not even comparable.
No, but there's nothing on earth that has ever had
100 million.
The 20th century was the deadliest in the
plague.
That's a significant chunk of Europe. But to take,
but we got to factor in the amount of people.
When you're talking about a continent, I'm talking about the entire world. China, Russia, the two most populous countries in the world, Cuba, South America, parts of Africa. Where else is common? Eastern Russia. I mean, everywhere that it's tried, it's been a fucking disaster. And, like, they can have their critiques, their smart-ass critiques of capitalism. And I get it. Like, a lot of it's right. But, like, 100 million people isn't enough to tell you that this idea doesn't work? I don't know what the fuck.
I mean, I guess they could have stopped after maybe 10 million.
I think that would have been reasonable. Yeah. I think that's a reasonable cutoff.
And been like, you know what, guys? Let's cut our losses.
Yeah. You know. 10 million and even 10. And even 10, okay? And if by 10 million this isn't working, we're going to call it.
Okay? Right.
I think that would have been reasonable, Sean. I think you should have ran Russia.
Way too far.
I think it should have been Sean running things.
No, don't even talk about that. I do not want that responsibility at all.
I don't know. Seems like your autographed jersey says different. No.
Well, how do you know I'm not running Russia, actually? Where's your proof?
You know what?
Prove me wrong.
This could be an 8-hour long episode. I'm not trying to open a news network. I'm just trying to go through a podcast. Most of the time, they would just, you know, destroy your stuff and then tell you you're a dummy. However, if the person was distributing it or making it, or was a repeat offender, consequences could be much harsher. This can and did include being sent to the gulags.
The soup.
No, that's a goulash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. That'd be way better than a gulag.
I mean, boiling in soup sounds pretty terrible.
Damn, good point. The gulags, though, still, I think, you know, before we started this, I showed you some of the pictures. We kind of paused the episode.
Showed me this, like, narrated. It has, like, it's almost like a music video slideshow.
It's like the most, it's It makes,
but I had no idea what it was about.
It makes so those Sarah McLachlan videos.
Last week look you like traumatized me, yeah. But I didn't know what you were getting at. Right. So I've been thinking about this the whole week, and now it's finally coming together.
It's those. The, if right. you get on YouTube, we'll have a link in the description of the Gulag Archipelago, which was written. I forget the author's name here, but it's an account of the time in the Gulags, which are the Soviet prison camps. And there's all these different drawings that are accounts of his things that he saw in the prison camp. There's it's stuff
essentially the Salem Witch Trial Museum.
It's like a drawn out snuff film.
Yeah,
yeah. It's there's a guy getting sawed in half. There's a guy getting beheaded in a cabin.
You know your classic Iron Maidens and things
it's,
like this.
Yeah, it's like a terrible metal music video, but really sad and depressing. There's a guy being sodomized. There's a bunch of guys being sodomized. There's guys being buried alive. There's some kind of a human tuna net on a big Russian barge where, like, there's a crane that's hauling a big net full of people out of a ship and just dumping them. They're stacking bodies of starvation victims in mass graves like firewood. They're just, like, stacking them up, just thousands and thousands of people. It's terrible.
It really is.
It's unthinkable. Like, you don't really have a...
Yeah.
Context to put it in. So, but why is all this in a music podcast, right? Because context is everything.
Okay.
You have to understand the world these people lived in. Brutality was the order of the day. Might always equaled right, and life was a meaningless commodity. This was a bleak existence, and any physical therapist will tell you, pain is the most powerful motivator.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's the truth.
People tried to make their own records on a specially coated wax paper, but it took a real dissident genius to figure out how to make what would become known as bone records.
Oh, shit.
The Soviet bone records. Yes, sir. How did I not
put two and two together?
Because you're just not that bright. That's the thing. No.
Or I'm just drunk.
You're the smart half of this podcast, that's for sure. I'm just the mouthpiece. Ruslan Bugus. Okay, you're going. Right, we're gonna have to really be patient.
Which member of the 18 would you be?
I think I'd be like several of them combined into one.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm mostly Mr. T, but with the hand of the guy with the cigar.
Yeah. Definitely. And yeah. I'm definitely Face.
Yeah.
But I'm crazy lunatic pilot like the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name? Murtaugh?
In case you were wondering, there's a special which 18 member are you quiz on.
Is that right? I'm going to take this I don't know. After the podcast.
So, all right, you're going to have to be real patient with my pronunciation of these Russian names.
But the bone record. So that's so cool.
Yes.
It was an x-ray.
Well, that's what we're going to get into.
Yes. X-ray paper.
So Ruslan Bogoslavsky changed the game when he encoded music onto exposed x-rays from medical archives and hospital trash bins.
So how did he get it on the music? Did he carve the grooves into it?
Well, that's what...
Bogoslavsky,
he ended up spending 5 years... Not funny. That's 5 years imprisoned in Siberia. For this innovation.
It's hilarious.
It's just like the worst place in the world. The records were... Okay, so what they did was they were imprinted on x-rays, cut into circles with scissors.
Printed on x-rays. Right. Okay. All
right. They were cut into circles with scissors, and then... I didn't finish typing out the word hole. So the hole to the record was burned in the middle with a cigarette.
Cigarette ash. Yeah. Oh,
and sold on the street by dealers like any other contraband. So what were they listening to? They were listening to jazz. They were listening to pop. They were listening to rock and roll. And they were listening to...
It was Western music,
right? Yeah, like that's what they wanted to listen
like
to.
Or maybe like a... Vienna Opera or something.
And like Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, like a lot of the
American stuff.
Yeah, that's all they that was what they wanted to listen to. And they also listened to like popular Russian dissidents like the Russian equivalent of like Woody Guthrie or Pete Seeger, or like these Russian folk singer guys.
It was what the Russian people could get their hands on. So what was popular.
Yeah, and that's what they wanted was what they couldn't get. And like you could still get like old traditional Russian folk songs or songs talking about how great Stalin was.
Right.
But you couldn't get like jazz oh, records. Oh,
Stalin, tis of thee.
I think there would just be, like, people, like, clapping, like, in, like, slow time. And, like, Stalin.
But the clapping is sodomy.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. That's traditional Russian music traditional for you. Russian. But there's guys like Pyotr Leschenko.
Yeah. Peter.
King of, right,
I know,
right.
I know Pito.
King of the Russian tango. In the Soviet Union, his work was banned both because he was believed to be a white emigre, which means he was not legally like a white emigre, which means I think...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What's meaning he immigrant? Wasn't... He was from, I think, from Ukraine. So he wasn't purebred Russian.
So he wasn't red?
Was there a deal?
Is that what you're getting at?
I don't know why they call him a white emigre. I don't know, so much time in the day. And because the style that he danced and the music that he danced to was a tango and foxtrot, it was deemed counter-revolutionary.
Oh, wow.
Pyotr was sent to a Romanian prison near Bucharest. Real lap of luxury. Both outlived Joseph Stalin, but Pyotr died in a prison hospital in Targu Okna on the 16th of July, 1954. Oh, all of that. Everything. Every little bit of that sounded horrible.
Every single
everything
bit.
In the last 5 minutes was just a terror story. Oh my God. Being stuck, you get sent to Siberia. Would you? Okay, now you've got a little more of a handle. If
Siberia is in the middle of nowhere.
So if I said... You're going to be sent to Siberia for listening to your favorite record.
I would be excited at first.
You'd be excited to go to Siberia?
Yes.
For listening to your favorite record?
No, definitely not.
So that's what we're talking about. I'm going to send you to a prison camp in Siberia if I catch you with your favorite record.
Okay. I thought you were talking about going to Siberia.
Not like record. Travel Channel coming with you.
Okay.
No, you're going to go to a prison camp if I catch you with your favorite Kiss Live album.
I guess if you're that cold, it's not going to hurt as much when they torture you.
Wow, you really love your records. The Bone Records created their own subculture. You would have made a great Russian citizen in the 50s and 60s, Sean. The Bone Records created their own subculture with secret circles of friends meeting and trading and listening to records. After a while, though, the authorities caught on and began to crack down harder on the Bone Records. Fake records flooded the market with messages hidden halfway through. So you'd be listening to your song, you know, enjoying like Ella Fitzgerald or whatever, and then all of a sudden it would cut out and it'd be like, you capitalist swine, this music is forbidden by the state, you will be caught and punished and killed and all this shit.
And then OJ tries to kill the Queen of England.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I gotta say, your handle on history is all solid. Right. Really good.
Naked Gun reference for those of you who don't
really
know.
Really good handle on history. OJ has a... I don't think when OJ goes out to kill somebody, he doesn't try to kill somebody. Eventually, reel-to-reel tapes and then CDs would replace Bone Records. This is still into the late 80s that communism is... The Iron Curtain is still covering all of the Soviet Union. And with the fall of the Soviet Union, it's safe to say that Russia is among the world's leaders in bootleg music even to this day.
That's cool.
However, while the
Before
Bone Records...
Napster, there was Russia.
In a way. However, while the Bone Records time was short-lived, its impact and lesson are lasting and impactful. Like all history, it leaves you with the question, what would I do in that situation?
But you know what's really cool? I can't get this out of my head. So you're listening, you go to your record drug dealer, and then on the street in the back alley, and then you get home and you listen quietly in the attic, in the hidden room, to your record, and then halfway through it says, you capitalist scum, you're going to be burnt at the stake for this. Like, what would you do at that point? Like, you would live the rest of your life in complete and utter fear.
Unless you thought it was, like, a really interesting concept album. Yeah, like, or, you know what?
Aren't some, like, Sabbath albums like that? If you play them backwards or something, there's some, like, hidden message.
I don't think Sabbath was real heavy into economics.
Well, I mean, they're rich.
Oh, that's true. Fair enough. Like, if you do that much cocaine, you're somehow into economics, right?
Yeah. You understand the supply and demand.
You have a solid grasp of supply and demand. It's a really good point. So for many under the iron fist of communism during the Cold War, the risk of being sent to the gulag was not enough to dissuade them from listening to the music that they love.
Could they get music in the gulag? That's my question.
I don't know that. I don't know, but I don't think that was like your
like. There's got to be
music
some
in the gulag was probably like a guy with like a string,
okay,
and
his,
like
the
a tooth.
Tear from his decapitated friend.
Yeah, I don't think you could afford an air guitar.
There's
in the gulag.
A premium to delivered contraband to Siberia.
I think you were
sure.
Just like trying to not die in the gulag.
Okay, all right.
Let's see here. So yeah, this all kind of boils down to we want to leave.
What
with,
work were they doing though?
Dude, oh, they would just have them put them on these public works, right? So they would, there's these pictures of them.
Is that how?
It looks like a moonscape. Like they're just hauling wheelbarrows full of earth.
For what?
To build dams, to build walls, to just fucking nothing, just to work them to death.
Okay.
And they're doing it in freezing temperatures. They're like little old ladies out there hauling wheelbarrows.
Sounds horrible.
It is the worst conditions you can imagine. And they're doing all this on a, you know, maybe 500 calories a day of fucking gruel and water.
Right.
Day after day after day. It's just the worst, some of the worst conditions ever created in human history. So it's not saying, hey, long story short, are you going to get caught with the bone record and go straight to the gulag? No. But that is a big picture risk
of
owning a bone record. So Sean, and I mean, this is something for the listener to consider too. Give us your take. What would you do
after knowing all this?
After knowing all this, would you still be willing to listen to your?
This is tough. If you had said if Stalin would put you in the gulag for playing guitar. Or anybody who touches a piano is sentenced to death, I would most definitely play music. Without question.
Okay.
But if somebody said, if Stalin was like, oh, so if you can't listen to Miles Davis anymore, I would be like, okay, whatever. You know,
not a big Miles Davis.
Not a big deal. You know, if it comes down to it, I would so much rather play the music rather than... So would you be punished as well for any sort of Western music? Or if it was it just records that were contraband?
No, you could have, like, there were certain records that are approved.
Okay.
That's why they had record machines that would work. And like.
If you were in your home playing your own instrument, could you play any song you wanted?
No, there are songs that are outlawed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough one then, man.
Yeah. So, like,
I guess the bottom line is yes, I would still do it because it would be torture without music.
If you told me I couldn't play Living After Midnight anymore, yeah, I'd say,
okay,
shoot me.
If I couldn't listen to Guns N' Roses for the rest of my life, yeah, just get it over with.
If I didn't have Kenny Loggins, then what's the point?
You could watch Caddyshack.
No, you think Caddyshack?
That's
is
how
the
they
most,
snuck it in.
There would be
that
no
is the bone,
Caddyshack
that is the
behind
Loggins
the Iron Curtain.
Bone record. It is Caddyshack.
You think that little gopher can sneak underneath the Iron Curtain, dude? No,
they both
sir.
Definitely can.
No, I don't believe you, man.
Bill Murray can do anything, as far as I'm concerned.
But Bill Murray is not the gopher. The gopher.
But he could help the gopher.
You think that weirdo is gonna help him get over the wall?
No, he's gonna go under the wall. Under the radar, under the curtain.
No, they're going to sniff him out, and he's going straight to the gulag.
Can you smell a gopher?
Dude. He's going to be the first gopher in the gulag.
We need to hear from a gopher hunter and see how they feel about this.
That's what we'll title this episode, Gopher in the Gulag.
Gopher in the Gulag.
So we want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of All Damn Night. Always enjoy having you. Enjoy sitting back and rapping about music history. And we're coming out with some new stuff that we've been talking about. So we've got some new stuff in the works coming
for
you.
Maybe switching over to a new platform, but
yes.
We'll still be here for you.
Big things in the works coming up.
Rest assured.
Till then, we always appreciate you hanging with us. We've got a couple more episodes, at least one more episode coming before the new year, which would be really special. We're excited to get that to you, a Christmas special coming up. So we've been working hard on that.
Yeah.
And check us out on... Instagram.com/alldamnnight. Yeah. If you have any show ideas, questions, comments, hit us up, email at alldamnnight.
What's the best way for them to stay up to date on the newest content and where we're going in the future? So Facebook?
Even that would say Facebook? right now Instagram and Twitter.
Okay.
So we'll be at twitter.com/alldamnnight, Instagram.com/alldamnnightpodcast. Also for the email would be alldamnnightpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to tell them about the Patreon real quick.
Yeah, like we keep saying, it's still in the works, and Patreon's had some kinks to work out recently with this whole new era. But pretty soon we're coming up with supporters have access to more content. Doesn't matter how much you give, but you get access to more content than the free listeners.
So,
you know, special ideas and polls and what should we do next and all kinds of stuff.
A little more listener interaction. Yeah. And looking forward to that. So
remember that you're our boss, listeners. So
you're like our Stalin.
You are making us write TPS reports. So
please don't send us to the gulag.
Do not send us to the gulag. No. Send us to the top of the iTunes charts.
We are your dancing bears.
And we will do anything that we need to do to entertain you. Well, not are you not entertained?
Easy. So thanks again for tuning in. Be sure to check us out online all over the place. And be here next week for the next episode of All Damn Night.